KG Lopez.
Okay, Mr. Lopez, we will begin the hearing, and who's going to do Mr. Lopez? I'm looking for Mr. Lopez. Okay, Mr. Lopez, we're ready to get started, sir. I should now ask the question, what do you do that for, Mr. Lopez? I don't know who's going to do it. Mr. Lopez, would you state your name and ABC number for the record, sir?
Enrique G. Lopez, 15252.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Lopez. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Commissary for your revocation hearing regarding the wine allegation on your wine. And based upon information that we have, you should have been notified of this hearing at least five days ago. Did you receive a notification? Did you sign that notification saying that the hearing would be held today, sir?
Yes, sir.
And on that, among other things, you stated that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room at this time. May I assume that you're going to represent yourself this morning, sir?
Yes, sir.
And as you can see, there are five board members participating in your hearing this morning. I would like to introduce them to you so that you might know who they are. On your right, all the way on your right, that would be the Honorable Mr. Louis Colonis. Next to him is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. On the other side of myself is the Honorable Mr. Neil Rittenhouse. On the other side of Ms. Rittenhouse is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. And my name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel lead and board chair this morning. We also have in the room with us this morning, let me get this moving here, the gentleman that you should be seeing now, that is the Honorable Mr. Turner. Mr. Turner is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer of today. Mr. Lopez and Mr. Turner, do both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so affirm. Mr. Lopez, sir.
Yes.
And Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. I do.
Thank you. Mr. Lopez, before I go further, I do take note of a couple of things. First of all, I do take note that you did appear before the probable cause officer on, when did he see you? Sometime here, you did appear before him on March the 12th of this year. Do you remember going before the probable cause officer, sir?
Yes, sir.
And the officer found that, based on information that was presented by you, his finding was that Mr. Lopez violated a condition of his release and has lapsed or is probably about to lapse into criminal ways or company. And with that being said, it's not necessary for us to go through phase one. We will go to phase two of your hearing this morning. We will not go through phase one. We'll go to phase two because you've already done that with this probable cause and the finding of this officer. Now, in order for me to get to phase two, I need to offer a motion. And my motion is going to be to find that Mr. Lopez violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Polonis, the Honorable Mr. Neal, and the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Now, sir, we're going into phase two of your hearing. We're going to ask that you remain, that you remain quiet. We're going to get some background information coming from the Department of Corrections. Once we receive that information, then we're going to come back and talk to you and let you tell the board whatever you would like to tell the board this morning. Okay, sir? Okay, so at this time, we're going to receive some background information, and that will be presented to the board by the Honorable Mr. Turner. Mr. Turner, sir, would you give us some background information, sir?
Yes, sir. Lopez was released from ADC custody on 3-7-2018 and arrested on 9-30-2018 by Tucson Police Department on misdemeanor charges of DUI, failure to stay with an accident, criminal damage, endangerment times three. He was returned back to ADC custody on 1-3-2019 with a CSED of 9-7-2019, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2009, aggravated assault, 9 years. Prior convictions, 1999, aggravated assault, 2 years, 6 months. 2003, aggravated robbery, 3 years, 6 months. 2006, flight from raw vehicle, 1 year. 2008, marijuana violation, 1 year. 2009, aggravated assault, 1 year. 2007, flight from law vehicle, 1 year, 9 months. This is his fourth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 4.55. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 3. STD information, he is a suspected member of the STD New Mexican Mafia and self-admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang Harbor City from Douglas. Prior terms of supervision, 2002, TIS release, absconded for 1 day, arrested, reached CSD in custody. 2006, TIS release, absconded for 30 days, arrested, revoked by VOEC. 2007, TIS release, absconded 53 days, arrested, reached CSD in custody. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with drugs, intoxicants, violence, and weapons noted. Other arrest, 1996, burglary, third degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 1997, aggravated assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 1998, misdemeanor, felony, or misdemeanors, Arizona juvenile detention. He has a GV score of G7, B9. Status of charges per the Tucson Parole Office. He pled guilty to criminal damage charges and received 36 months of unsupervised probation and a fine of $2,780. All other charges were dismissed.
Okay, thank you so very much, sir. Okay, well, we're going to talk to you just for a few moments, sir, and then we will forward. And then we will listen to you, and based on information that was presented to this board as part of the case supervision summary, we do take note that when you were released, you were to stay with your sister there in Tucson. How long did you remain at your sister's residence, sir?
The whole time out, the 7 months that I was at her residence.
Okay. And did you have any employment, sir?
Yes, sir. As I got out, I had a little bit of trouble getting employment. But when I got out, I started working at the U of A. We knocked down 21 dorms. From right there, we went to the Sports Chance Center in Tucson, Arizona, which we demolished and then rebuilt a basketball court. And from right there, we went back to the U of A. I was involved in the aquatic center of the U of A. I never had a job before. As you guys heard, I had a lengthy history in DOC, but I was working that whole time. Basically, the whole time I was out, I paid most of my fines, got my license, got my social security. I was programming, and I was doing all these things right, and I had this moment of slip. I messed up and I had a beer. I signed my plea bargain to a misdemeanor DUI, which I just got to get an interlock system in my car.
Okay, so
those were the only charges that I was found guilty of was misdemeanor DUI. But if I'm given the opportunity, I'll pay those fines off too. I'm able to get employment as soon as I get out. I'll be able to go back to my, like, nothing's changed. I just had this slip up. I hadn't drank a beer in 10 years. And I was happy and I just drank it. And this happened.
Okay, so now you indicated that this was the first time that you had actually had employment. How did that feel for the first time having a job, sir, a paying job? How did that feel, sir?
How did I say, repeat your question?
How did it feel? This is your first time, you said this is the first time having employment where you've been paid. And I just asked you, how did that feel? You're having a job, you know, that you've been paid, going to work every day, sir.
I felt great, sir. I had never had that fulfillment in my life, ever. Like, I've never had that. And working in the university, I met the head coach of the swimming team of the U of A. One of the first questions I asked him was if he met Michael Phelps. And he told me he wished I was in the basketball courts in the U of A, like for Rask Max. I got to go to the university and it was the craziest feeling I've ever had in my life.
Okay, well, we're glad that you did have those opportunities, sir, and as you stated, that you had those hearings, and based on what I see, all of them were negative except for that one that you had July 17, 2018, for the marijuana, well, THC, as it's listed here. And so why did you, you were aware of the fact that you were on supervision, why did you take that beer that day, sir? What was going on at that time, sir?
Well, we went to work, we were working Monday through Friday, right, and Saturday we were to work, and then Sunday we had to go put some acrylic on the swimming pool, which was going to take like a couple of hours, but we ran out of acrylic, and we were right there at the U of A, and they were about to have a big game. They had just had a big game, and my boss just handed me a beer, and I drank that one beer with my medication that I was taking on the streets, just... That other beer just hit me so hard that I can't really remember. I remember it specifically. I was like, no, I'm alright. And they're just, come on, just one beer. And I drank it. And also with the dirty way with that THC, I had got my marijuana card. But I thought once I was able to go there and take care of the test of the marijuana card, I would be able to smoke marijuana, but that wasn't the case. I had to wait 10 days after that, and that's why I ended up dropping dirty to marijuana.
Okay, sir. I also take note as part of the programming that you were receiving medication, I'm assuming for your SMI situation. So do you recall what kind of medication that you were receiving, sir, there at Lafontaine?
I don't know. I can't recall right off the top because there's some long names there.
Okay, I understand that. But are you on any type of medication there, sir, for your SMI?
Here in prison?
Yes, sir.
One is Trilipto, and the other one, I can't really remember. I think it's a high.
Let me put it this way. Let me ask it this way. Why are you taking these medications? What type of symptoms do you have that you're on medication, sir?
Sometimes I get real bad anxiety. Sometimes I can't sleep. Stuff like that.
Okay. Now let's go back to around July the 30th of last year with this with this beer. Now I heard what you said, you know, about marijuana, and I'm still just a little confused why you would take the. Why did you just say no, in as much as you were conscious of the fact that you were on the supervision? I know you said that your supervisor offered and you said, oh yes, I'm going to take it. So what happened after you took that? You said it kind of affected you, you mentally or something. What happened after you took that beer?
Like, I don't know, it had like an effect on me. Like, I don't know, like I drank that beer. I don't know, like it kind of caught me like right in the it hit me real hard, that one beer, and I think the sun, because it was really hot, and I had an aid on top of the medication, it had like, and I don't know, I just drank it, and it was having a good time, and I just ended up having this mistake.
Okay, now let me just ask a couple other questions, then I'll go to my distinguished colleague, now you've had the beer, you know you should not have, okay, so I can't overlook it, but maybe I would overlook it, but why did you start driving a vehicle after having that beer, sir? Why would you do that, sir? You know, even if you're not on supervision, you know, driving these days and having had a drink, it's just dangerous. So much going in terms of driving these days. So why were you driving, sir? Why didn't you get somebody else to drive for you, sir?
Well, there's really no excuse for that. But I was really drinking, and I was at my job already. We're at the U of A parking lot, and I don't know, we just drank that beer and drank another one. I know these days DUI is like really, really bad, and under normal circumstances, I would have never done that. never, even when I had my American Honda card, I would never drive the car. I know, I thought it was just going to be an A to B thing from the U of A to my house, and it just didn't end up that way.
Now, I do take notes of that, based upon the officer, the police officer, the law enforcement officer, you know, that officer pointed out the fact that that vehicle that you were driving had been involved on hit and run collision earlier that same day. So what happened with that car, sir?
That's the thing, that they didn't prove none of that in court, because at the end of the day, when all that happened, I wasn't the only one in that vehicle. That only, the only time they talked, I was already in my apartment complex when the police officer wasn't even coming after me. I was just with my lights off driving. When they showed me the body cam, like, I was so, my mind was like, I couldn't even say my name, that alcohol had affected my brain so bad.
And that's what concerns me very much, sir. There's that one board member that it affected your brains and everything, and yet you were driving. You know, if I'm affected, you know, if my brains are affected because I've had something to drink or smoke or whatever, that's really dangerous to be in, apparently, based upon what the officer said. Now, whether you were driving that vehicle, somebody else was driving the vehicle was in your name, and someone had a collusion earlier that same day. And, you know, that's just kind of dangerous. It sounds dangerous to me, sir, but that was you. But I'm going to just, at this moment, yield to other board members who may have some questions for you. Board members, questions for Ms. Lopez. The Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse has a question for you, sir.
Mr. Lopez, when you initially told us the story, you said you had one beer, and then just now, you said you had more than one beer. How many beers did you have?
Well, it was definitely more than one beer. I meant to say one beer, it was more than one beer.
How many?
It was probably like four or five.
Okay. All right, thank you, sir. Yeah. Thank you, Bob Boy.
Hey, thank you so very much. Great observation. Honorable Mr. Johnson has some questions for you, sir.
So the police officer says in the warrant that when they asked you for your ID, you pulled out some marijuana and handed in marijuana instead of your ID. So were you also smoking marijuana too that day, sir?
No, sir.
You just had the marijuana in your pocket?
Yeah, I had it in my pocket. It was I had just got it from the dispensary. If he would have taken for observation, the zip where they saw it at the dispensary was still sealed on it, sir.
Okay, so earlier that day, well, okay. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions, board members? The Honorable Mr. Turner wishes to share something with the board. Mr. Turner, sir.
Yes, sir. In reference to the medical marijuana card, on 3/7/2018, during his initial intake, they did go over the Arizona Medical Marijuana Directive with him, which and specifically states that they have to get permission from the parole department before they're allowed to use it. I don't see any documentation and no one has notes at all where he ever presented a medical marijuana card for approval.
Okay, thanks so very much for calling that to our attention, sir. Okay, anything else, board members or Mr. Turner, here nothing else? I'd just like to ask, is there anyone present who wishes to speak on behalf of victims or for Mr. Lopez? No one is here, sir. So now I'm back to you, Mr. Lopez. Mr. Lopez, we're coming to the end of your hearing, but this is your hearing. And the board is going to make a determination to the decision very shortly whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue your supervision. But before we do that, since this is your hearing, we're going to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board. And once you make that statement, then the board will go into discussion. Anything else you want to tell the board at this time, so on your behalf?
Yeah, my marijuana card, when I got it, My parole officer got a copy of my card, and he photocopied it on the machine, and it has to say, if you would get a hold of my parole officer, he knows I showed him my medical card, and I took it to him. I was very, very good with something, my PO would tell me, dude, that I was doing a good job, you shake my hand. Sometimes you would just come out and we just shake my hand and he goes, you're doing good, all right, that's it.
Okay, sir. Anything else you want to tell the board before the board goes into discussion and make a decision, sir?
I just would like another chance on that PO to go back with my family. This is for a normal citizen, if they would have got one DUI, he would have been out in 24 hours. I've been in solitary confinement for the last 6 months.
Okay, thank you, sir. At this time, the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion. And once we complete this discussion, sir, then at that point, the board will make a decision, will make its determination. So, and as I don't know, you have appeared for this board before, but if, just in case you've forgotten, we do everything in public. We don't do anything behind closed doors. We operate under the open meeting laws, so please stay on the phone so that you can hear everything that this board is saying. So we won't say anything that you will not hear. And this will be the first time that this board, as it is constituted today, will have had an opportunity to discuss this case, sir. So please remain quiet. Okay, sir. The board is now in discussion. Board members, I find Mr. Lopez as being a very interesting gentleman, young man. When he was released, he was able to resign with his sister, and I commend him for that. And apparently, since he had no son days, I would assume that he remained that throughout the period that he was out. That he had employment, which was great employment over there at the U of A down there in Tucson, and in the athletic department, doing quite well. But this day, he decided to use or drink some beer. Initially one, then five or six, so we don't know how many he had. In addition to that, to his drinking that beer, he also decided to drive that vehicle. And that is very dangerous to be driving when you have that much to drink, to have anything to drink. And as one board member, and each one of us speak for ourselves, and I'm speaking only for myself, I just cannot support his being released at this time because of for those reasons as other information contained in this book. That's only one board member. Now I'm going to yield to other board members who may want to make comments or think different than I'm thinking. Yes, Honorable Ms. Ringhouse.
Dr. Wright, thank you. I would also just bring up the fact that the vehicle had been involved in a hit run, and we can't know that it was him, but it's just suspicious. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so very much. Anything else need to be added? Hearing nothing else at this time, I'm going to offer a motion, and my motion is going to be based upon information contained in warrant number 2018-W32598, as well as testimony coming from the Department of Corrections to Mr. Turner, as well as testimony coming from Mr. Lopez himself, and his drinking the beer, driving the vehicle while after drinking the beer. I'm going to move to revoke his community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. House, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Kawanis, the Honorable Mr. Neal, and the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Mr. Lopez, I know this is not what you wanted, but unfortunately, when things like this happen, we cannot overlook it. We wish you the best, sir, in the future, and we never want to see you in harm's again. You're scheduled to be released if everything else should work out okay on September the 7th of this year. Good luck, sir. We hope that while you're still there, you will take some AA or NA or other programs that might be available. Thank you so very much, and if you would be kind enough to put the CO3 back on the phone, we would certainly appreciate it, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.